Philippians chapter 4. Our text today is going to be verses 8 and 9. But just to kind of give a bit of a recap of last week, because our message today is very much a continuation of last week. Let me just read for you last week our text, beginning of verse 4. Scripture says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Last week we had discussed the need that we have to rejoice in the Lord always, and specifically to understand that the object of our joy and the source of our joy is the Lord. When we come to know who the Lord is, and the more that we can come to understand who He is, what He does, how powerful that He is, His beauty, His majesty, His splendor, all the things that we read of in the Scripture, the more that we will trust in Him, even in the midst of some of our circumstances that we go through. The more that we can trust in Him, have confidence in Him, and know that He is in control, and know that He has allowed us to go through this trial for a specific purpose, and we can rejoice that we know Him, and that He is the one who provides us the strength that we need, the endurance that we need, the comfort that we need, especially the wisdom and knowledge that we need to get through our circumstances so that we please Him in all things. There was a lot of things we talked about last week about that particular passage of Scripture specifically, that to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, this is a command. In the Greek, when you read this, this is a command. This isn't a suggestion. It isn't, you know, something that would be good if we did it. Paul says, you could do this. You rejoice in the Lord. And we talked about also, sometimes in our circumstances, we're not happy. You know, we're very unhappy sometimes, but we got to realize that joy and happiness two different things. That even though our circumstances are bad, we are enduring things in our life, perhaps the death of loved ones or trials that we endure. Sometimes those are not happy situations. But what he's going back to is this, is the fact that you know the Sovereign One, the only Sovereign, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as Paul says elsewhere. Since you know Him, you can have confidence in Him, and you can have joy in your hearts because you know Him. I wanted to read this to you as we were beginning this morning. It's in Habakkuk. Let me just give you an example here. In Habakkuk, if you start to read, it's only three chapters there in the Old Testament. As you start to read it, here the prophet is crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, "Lord, look at your people. Look at all the injustice that your people are doing. Why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you bringing judgment on them? Why aren't you taking care of things?" And so the Lord says, in verse 5 there of chapter 1, listen to this, here's what the Lord says back. He says, "Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe it if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans," talking about the Babylonians, "that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate within themselves." And then he goes on. The prophet is understanding that the Lord is telling him that he is going to bring a foreign nation down on his people. That he is going to bring a foreign pagan nation down on the people of Judah. And he's going to take them captive. So the prophet, as you read on in chapter 2, the prophet understands what's getting ready to happen. And he starts to question the goodness of God. He starts to question how the Lord can do this. The circumstance that's getting ready to happen. So he's focusing on what's getting ready to happen rather than on the one that he knows. But you see, as the Lord reproves him in the Scripture, you see at the end of the book that he is a changed person in regards to how he's viewing a circumstance, this event that's getting ready to happen, which was huge, by the way. It's not just something that we look back on and say, "Wow, okay, it took the people of Israel, took them captive." And understand something, that the temple, Jerusalem, all of the ceremonial worship that they had was their identity. And here the Lord is telling him, "I'm going to take it away. I'm going to take it all away. And I'm going to take them to a land that they do not know." Very, very significant what he's telling him. Look at verse 16 at the end of the chapter. heard, my inward parts trembled at the sound my lips quivered, decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Here's what he says, this is what. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and made me walk on my high places. So you see a very great example of what we had talked about last week in the Old Testament with that prophet. That great event that was getting ready to happen, that time of distress that he was getting ready to endure, he knew it was coming. And yet he says, you're the God of my salvation, I'm going to rejoice in you, because I'm going to look to you in this circumstance that I know you're in control, that I know your love and your mercy and your grace, and I'm one of yours. But Jesus said, rejoice, not that you have power over the demons, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. We can rejoice in our circumstance because we know the Lord. And that's so very important that we study the scripture, which is going to come into our text today, of that need that we have as believers to study the scripture, to know the one whom we claim to know his mercy and his goodness, his holiness, to understand our place in regards to our Heavenly Father. He went on to say in verse 6, to be anxious for nothing. We looked at a passage in Luke chapter 12, speaking, Jesus is speaking, and he says at least three different times, be not afraid, don't worry. Why are you worrying about food and clothing? Why are you worrying about your life? Why are you worrying about these small things? Don't you know the one you serve? We look at some Old Testament names for God in regards to some of the situations that we endure in life. But as we endure persecution, that the Lord is our shepherd. As we endure medical situations that sometimes have us to question the goodness of God or question what it is that the Lord is doing, he is the God who heals. Whenever we pray and we wonder if God is even hearing our prayer, the scripture says his name is the God who sees me. We talked about that last week. But as we focus ourselves on the Lord, to rejoice in him, to know him, we will not be anxious for anything because we will understand, I'm going to be here, I'm going to continue on until the Lord takes me home. I shouldn't worry about anything. I shouldn't be afraid any of those, because my mind is focused on him. And the result of that, as you got into verse 7, was the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension with our hearts and minds in Christ. We realize that the more we come to know him, the more stable we are going to be in our Christian walk, the more solid foundation that we will have as we endure our various trials, and the trials will come. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial. Is this some strange thing came upon you? And know it's coming. But the time that it does come, you can rejoice in the Lord. And as James says, you count it all joy, because in this circumstance, in this event, in this situation, you can look to the Lord and you can lean on him. And this is for your sanctification. Here's what he gets into today, which is a continuation of this. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. Stay with me as we read the scripture again. God's word says, beginning in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of all peace will be with you. Father, we only come before you, and we just thank you for your mercy and your